All of his stuff looked good, some probably too good because it was probably snug, but he was different in everything that he did. He locked up different. He locked up snug.
Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to Snug Wrestling. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
Wrestling Podcast, another exciting episode of the Snug Wrestling Podcast. It's Friday for us. We're recording on Friday after Friday Night SmackDown. If you're listening to this any other day, happy day to you also. And like always, I have my co-host with me, Mr. Blood, Toxic, Tommy, and BT Knight. And tonight, we're going to do a quick review of Friday Night SmackDown. We're not going to go over the whole thing. We're just going to go over the major parts, as this was the first SmackDown after the crazy Elimination Chamber this past weekend. And the big question here that I want to focus on is why Cena? Why? We heard from Cody Rhodes and we got an update from him, his thoughts after what happened, after John Cena turned on him. Cody Rhodes, and not just him, but all of us want to know, why did Cena decide to do what he did at the Elimination Chamber when he low-blowed Cody Rhodes? He turned heel. He joined The Rock. Why? Why? So that's what we're going to talk about. We're also going to talk about Bianca Belair. We found out who was a real attacker of Jade Cargill. And we might get into the new United States champion that was crowned LA Knight later today. What's going on, fellas? How you guys doing?
Doing real good, real good. Download 2K25 right now. The rest of y'all gotta wait.
All right, let's get started. Let's start with Cody Rhodes, because Cody Rhodes cut an amazing promo tonight, and I thought it was really good. Even though he didn't give us a whole lot, the promo still did its job, which was keep us hooked in this thing, keep us interested as to what's going to happen next. You know, he told a great story. He took us back to, you know, when the last time he was in Philly was WrestleMania 40, winning the title. And then we fast forward a year later, he's in Philly again. The people are still cheering for him. And then going way back to Money in the Bank when he was still rocking the mustache. So it was a really entertaining promo, and Cody ended up left the big question, why did John Cena do this? It doesn't matter, but all we know is if you want some John Cena, then come get some. Mr. Blood, I'm going to let you do the honors first. Let's hear your thoughts first on this promo. Why do you think John Cena did it, and what were your thoughts about this promo?
My thoughts on the promo overall, phenomenal. I mean, did Cody give us a whole lot? No, but there's one thing Cody's always really good at giving the audience, and that's all of himself when he's fired up, all of his emotion, everything he feels, he pours into these promos that are sometimes slow burn with a massive, massive emotional payoff, talking about his father, how last year when he was in Philadelphia, he got to finish the story that started back in the 1970s, how his father used to be afraid to perform in this arena, in this area, and used to paint his face so he could feel like the, I think it was the Road Warriors, he said, so he could feel that same kind of power. Cody says he doesn't have that same kind of reservation because the fans chose him. They chose him all the way back when he was at Money in the Bank years ago, when he was still with that mustache and climbing. The fans that moment chose him. And he said last year at WrestleMania 40, the fans, they chose me again. And he almost cried from the overwhelming emotion. When he said that line in the promo, the crowd erupted louder than they did any other point in the evening. This was the loudest pop of the night from that one line. And it's so true. And he's in sporting that black eye from Travis Scott, by the way, whom it was reported that Travis Scott legitimately did hit Cody in the face when he was on the ground last week. Not only damaged his eye, but he burst his left eardrum. So Cody is legitimately injured because of Travis Scott. But man, you can sit there and say that as far as shoot goes, what a payoff, because what an image that looks like after the betrayal of John Cena, that the face of the company, the new face, in the shadow of the old face, is beaten up, bruised, battered, and he's wearing it like a badge of being a victim of subterfuge. And I thought it was masterfully done. I think because we're not getting John Cena again until March 17th, it's been reported, is the next time he'll be in WWE on their European tour. So I'm assuming that means we're going to hear from him probably week or Monday after, I would say, next Friday, because next Friday, I believe, is the 14th. So probably going to be Monday the 17th or something like that. Or I can get the dates wrong, but I know it's the 17th. The point is that what John Cena are we going to get? Because I've seen so many people on TikTok assuming that this is going to be the Doctor of Thugonomics again. And one of my other best friends, Neil, was certain to be the Doctor of Thugonomics, but it won't be. Because it's not like John Cena to do the same thing again when this monumental of a change has happened. I don't see him reverting to an old gimmick. I see him turning into a corporate Cena, because everybody always said Cena's a company guy, but he's always been a company guy, quote unquote, for the WWE universe. So I don't see him being the Dr. Thugonomics. I don't see him being the Chain Gang Cena. I see him being a new version of Cena we have never seen before, a Hollywood corporate Cena that mirrors something like The Rock. And I am hoping to God that whatever entrance theme they recorded for him years ago when he almost turned heel, and they pulled the plug on it last minute because Vince got cold feet, I don't want that theme song. I want the Bad, Bad Man song that he recorded that's on his album that went platinum to be his theme song, because it fits perfectly. The lyrics fit perfectly. I think Cena's explanation for turning is quite simple. I did what's best for business, and what's best for business is that I'm the champion. And if that means I have to tear you down so I can keep this company built up, that's what I'm going to do. And he's going to tell the fans, you think I betrayed you, but I did it for you, to win 17 for you. I did this so you guys could have a face that you could rely on. No one is a bigger star than me, and I'm going to prove it at WrestleMania. And I think his reasoning is going to be very simple. Jealousy over Cody taking the spotlight when Cena always forever felt it should be his. And the simplest of all things, whatever it takes to win 17.
Excellent. Yeah, you bring up a lot of good points there, Mr. Blood. Very likely, very likely. All those things are definitely a possibility. But let's hear from you, Toxic. What do you think is the reason John Cena did what he did? And what did you think about Cody Rhodes' promo?
The reason I think Cena did what he did, to be honest, I don't have a reasoning. I just agree with Mr. Blood on why he turned heel. And what I thought about Cody's promo is, you know, people always say that, oh, Cody's promos aren't that good. He's weak on the mic. No. When he's fired up, when something happens that he's not expecting or is game-changing, he's fired up. He's fired up, he's ready to go, and he's hot on the mic, like tonight. He said his daughter asked him what happened to him, and he said, I had to lie for the sake of her well-being. And when she gets older, I will tell her that a man that believed he could do everything gave up. And that's it.
All right, Tommy, same question.
It's very clear. Cena said this at the Rumble at the press conference. I realized while I was out there that I need to do what's best for business. And what's best for business is for me to win 17. He said that all the way at the Rumble. Him doing that was just that. It was him doing what he had to do. That simple. But yeah, with Cody, people say, oh, like, he's not good on the mic. He's really not. He's a crybaby, all of that. You guys can call him a crybaby all he wants, but when he hits the emotions, that's when you realize how good on the mic he actually is. But I also love the fact that this segment started off with the entire crowd chanting, Cena sucks. I absolutely love that.
BT, let's hear from you, BT.
First off, happy to be here. What's up, YouTube? Here's my beautiful face. As you can see, I finally remembered to fucking shave, so I look more beautiful than last time. Anyway, John Cena, why? Why did he do it? It's that simple. He's desperate. He's desperate. He wants to win 17. He wants to win that number 17. It's that fucking simple. And we haven't seen this man main event WrestleMania since his rivalry with The Rock. And it's crazy how he is teamed up with The Rock. The same guy that he completely demolished in 2012 and exposed him for fucking writing promos on his wrist and being jealous of him because he was going off to Hollywood and he wasn't staying in this business. You know what I mean? Like, it's so crazy to sit here and say that those two have teamed up to take out Cody Rhodes. I find that so crazy. If you had told me that years ago, I wouldn't have fucking believed you. I'm not going to lie. But for the simple reason for why John Cena did it, he's desperate and he wants to win 17. It's that clear and simple. For the promo that Cody cut, awesome. And I know people get sick of Cody being a crybaby, looking like he's about to fucking cut onions and bullshit. I know people get sick of that. But at the same time, it's a good thing because you're resonating with the audience because they feel the exact same emotions. You wouldn't judge them for that. So why should you judge the person who's trying to resonate with them? So yeah, those are my thoughts.
So it looks like everyone, we're all pretty much thinking that John Cena is desperate. John Cena, he wants to win the 17 no matter what it takes. He's going to completely sell out. But what if The Rock is just, this is a blackmail. What if The Rock has something on John Cena that made John Cena do what he did at the Elimination Chamber? Because, hear me out, y'all. I know I sound crazy. It might be the tequila that I've been drinking. I don't know. But this is John Cena's farewell tour. This is John Cena's final run. There's no way John Cena is going to go out like a heel. I think we're going to get swerved at some point, and I think John Cena, they're going to find a way to turn him back babyface and give him the proper goodbye that John Cena deserves. And I think this may lead to John Cena taking down the final boss at some point, maybe at the end of his run. I don't know. That's what I'm hoping for. But I just wanted to hear your guys' thoughts as to what is going on with John Cena and why. Because Cody Rhodes made that question. Why Cena? Why did you do what you did? Very interesting stuff going on here, fellas. But let's move on. Let's talk about Bianca Belair now. Bianca Belair came out and she called out Naomi. She was like, I know you're back there, and I just got to point this out. Naomi, I'm sorry. I can't take her seriously when she's coming out wearing a neck brace a tricked out neck brace that matches her outfit and it's got all these fucking diamonds and glitters on it. I'm like, bro, you can't even do that. Like, this is a serious angle that they're doing here. This is a good angle. Like, fucking, I don't know. That just, like, little things like that really irk my soul. Like, yes, Mr. Blood.
Look, as far as Bianca and Naomi's concerned, that might be one of the top, like, segments of the year. On sheer delivery and believability from both women alone, mm-hmm. I bought every second of it.
Okay.
And as
I thought you were going to correct me about the neck brace thing.
Oh, well, the neck brace, I am. Because if anybody could honestly get away with it, I feel like it would be Naomi. Look, Naomi's a Florida girl from Orlando, 40 minutes down the road from me. Girls are always like, the girls down here will break their ankle and they will wear a bedazzled ankle, you know, ankle brace under Uggs down here. It's a Florida girl thing. So she can do it. If Seth can cut all these serious promos dressed like a shower curtain with oven mitts as the pants, I think Naomi can get away with a bedazzled neck
like,
brace.
Okay, you're in the middle of this big angle, and you're trying to sell these injuries that were caused to you. And you're more concerned about what you look like and the fucking thing to match your fucking outfit.
well, Vince McMahon did show up to the steroid trials with a comedy neck brace on too, and that was real life.
But that was that looked like a real neck brace. He wasn't like matching.
That was a comedy neck brace. That was much bigger than it should have been.
But Naomi's neck brace was even worse than that because it was matching her outfit and it was all glittery and stuff.
I get it, but I feel like to a point that could almost be a little nitpicky. Just because if anyone's gonna do it, I let the girls get away with it. Because the girls are allowed to look and feel, they should look and feel more glamorous than the guys.
The whole point of the neck brace is to get sympathy.
Oh, 100%. But at the same time, Jade kicked the girl's head off her shoulders twice and then slammed her neck in the door.
I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad for her because she's actually using it like as a fucking fashion statement at this point. It's just like, I don't feel bad for the girl. I'm sorry, but I
don't. She's all about feeling the glow. So I get why she would do it in character.
That's like,
her character would do that.
That's like me wearing a fucking ankle monitor and being like, oh yeah, my ankle monitor, this shit is Louis Vuitton, bro.
But if you put some studded spikes on it, I might say something. But if a girl's bedazzling it, I kind of let it go easier than I would the men. Let me put it that way. All right. I won't let Seth get away with it.
All right, fair enough. Anyway, moving on. So that pretty much was like ridiculous to me, but maybe I'm just being too picky. I kind of had a lot of lesbian fucking energy during this angle. Like, I'm sorry, but this was feeling like Naomi was madly in love with Bianca. Like, she was like, yes, BT, what's up?
Okay, first off, Snug, you're a fucking hypocrite, because if you can deal with Seth fucking cutting all of these good-ass promos in fucking oven mittens, look, if you can deal with Seth Rollins looking like fucking Twilight Sparkle on his way to the fucking Elimination Chamber, you can fucking deal with this shit right here. Come on, bro. That's first off. Second off, the promo itself, fucking cinema.
Okay, we'll let you get your thoughts about the promo, but let me cut you off right there because I can't deal with Seth Rollins' outfits either. Let's be fair, for the record... For the record, Seth Rollins, I can't with that guy, all right? But hear me out. When it comes to this segment with Naomi, so this was so over the top. Like, We're talking about soap opera, fucking dramatic, fucking all the waterworks, everything, right? I get it. This is really emotional. This is really intense. But also, like, they were acting like fucking Naomi fucking slept with Montez Ford. Like, they were acting like this was like some fucking, like, bro, like, okay, that was like saying, hold on, that was like saying, oh, Mr. Blood beat up Toxic. Oh, I'm so devastated. Oh, I'm so, I would have been like, yo, why are you guys fighting? Why are you guys doing this? Let's settle this and that's it. But no, they turn into the waterworks. It turned into the yelling and the screaming. Why? It was just like, bro, who died?
Can I tell you why they got to that extent? Because they have a close connection as friends. They have such a close connection as friends. They actually bonded. And I know for a fact that Jade is going to fucking call out Bianca for that.
I get
for that hypocrisy. I know they're going to call her out for that.
I get that. But also, again, like, this was a little bit way too much for me because, like, they were acting like someone got shot. They were acting like someone got murdered here, which was not the case at all. It was good. I give them props for their acting skills and everything, but come on, Mr. Blood, help me out.
I ain't here to help you. I'm sorry, but I have to speak, and I know you hate it when I say it because you're like, oh, of course. I used to be a pro wrestler. I was also a tag wrestler. And if there's one thing about being a tag wrestler, I can tell you, it's like when you're a cop and you have your partner. You do everything together. You spend more time on the road and at shows and talking to your partner than you do to your family, your spouse, your kids, because you see that partner more. It is literally like you are family. It is not just a friendship. It is a bond of, dude, I don't just trust you with my life out here. In that ring, one wrong move, my life, my career is over. I'm paralyzed, something. So I've traveled the country with you. We have tagged and gone across the world together. We have stayed in hotels together, rented cars together, done flights together, slept in the same rooms on floors together. You spent the night at my house in between shows and done laundry. You are close, really close. You share your meals together, the locker room. You spend 98% of your life around this one person for months and months and months. That kind of friendship is different than, oh, this is my best friend. We've been friends since kindergarten, but you've lived in different houses. One of you moved away. You were in different classes in school. You know, you had different girlfriends, different schedules, different sports. This is different. This friendship is, I spend more time with you than my own fucking husband.
No, okay. I get that, Mr. Blood.
But to that degree, the reason this was like, you said it was like lesbian tendencies. No, this is like when you are that close to someone, when you spend that much time, when you trust a person to that extent with your career,
this
to have them betray you like that hurts just as bad as getting cheated on by your partner. Because that level of relationship is almost as close.
This was
portrayed properly to that degree. In professional wrestling, they say all the time, I miss birthdays, funerals, weddings for this.
Mr. Blood.
Hold on. Because if you are a tag partner, you missed all those things because you were together. So if you betray me to that extent, it's going to feel like you killed my dog.
Okay.
Because I trust you as much as I trust my partner, okay, my real in-life spouse.
You might understand this reference more than Toxic and Tommy and BT Knight because they're a little bit younger. But this was like...
Because you and I are crusty?
Well, speak for yourself, Mr. Blood. But This was Eminem stan type fucking feelings.
Oh, but that was the thing though. Eminem, but here's the thing about Naomi. I get the stan reference because stan was obsessed with Eminem,
you,
the
level Bianca, of feeling. I love you,
because
Bianca.
Because and here's the thing though. There is a little bit of that stan martyr syndrome, because in Naomi's eyes, she genuinely probably thought she was protecting Bianca. She probably feels closer to Bianca than Shin and Jade does Bianca, because she's known Bianca for many years longer. And all of a sudden, here comes, I'm like your best friend. And then all of a sudden this new girl comes along, and all of a sudden she takes all your time. She becomes your best friend.
Let me lay out the foundation, Mr. Blood, and then I'm gonna let you finish all your thoughts on this segment. Okay? Because Naomi finally admitted that she did it. She was the one that was attacking Jade Cargill. She was the one that attacked Jade Cargill. There's no question about that. She did it for Bianca because...
And I called it.
Naomi claims that Jade Cargill has just been riding on Bianca's coattails, riding on her experience, riding on her name, you know, taking advantage of her, whatever. So Naomi's like, you know what? I did this for you. You're going to turn your back on me. You're a fucking bitch and a half. She said that to Bianca. Jade Cargill comes out, attacks Naomi. But one of the things that the internet has been saying during the show was the fact that Bianca kept saying, I did it for Bianca. I mean, Naomi kept saying, I did it for Bianca. I did it for you. Which still kind of leaves that possibility that Bianca may still be involved. So now that we know that Naomi did the attack on Jade Cargill, do you still think Bianca is involved? Mr. Blood, we'll go to you first, and then we'll go Tommy, and then Toxic, and then BT Knight.
I do not think Bianca's involved. I said, look, for everybody who's just tuning in now, please follow us every Monday and Friday night, wherever you get your podcasts, on Apple Podcasts, at Snug Wrestling. Follow him on TikTok as well for more wrestling content and up-to-date news on professional wrestling. Because we've discussed this ad nauseum for weeks, but I said this months ago, that I knew it was Naomi the night that the tag titles were going to be vacated. I said it had to be Naomi. She's the only one that benefited. And at the same time, doing it for Bianca makes sense if you put it in the realm of martyr syndrome. I did all of this for you. I sacrificed my integrity. I took out your friend, our friend, for you. And to be 100% honest, Bianca has been carrying Jade since the moment she walked in. Every time they were in a tag match last year and Jade was fumbling or botching, who picked up the slack in all the matches? Bianca. What did Bianca do? How many times did Bianca let Jade get all the pins? Every single time. When Bianca was putting in all the effort in the ring, running 80% of the matches, taking all the bumps, all the abuse, so Jade could come in and get a hot tag and steal a win. Who kept putting themselves at risk so Jade could keep learning and growing on the greatness of her partner? Jade. Jade is the Marty Jannetty to Bianca's Shawn Michaels. And it's true, because Bianca is the future. It is the former WrestleMania main eventer. She is a former world champion. She is the EST of WWE. She's done it all in the business except win the new titles they just introduced. She was a staple. She was the biggest, strongest, most independent over black woman in the company's fucking history. And then here it comes in, outsider, who got trained improperly by AEW, had to go back through training at the PC, debuted later because she wasn't picking it up as fast as Bianca. Now you've got Bianca, last year's model. Here comes Jade, the new shiny toy, with punch and kick action. Only Jade is flying off the shelves more than Bianca. Why? Because they gave Jade better presentation than Bianca, better entrance music, better camera work, better production, bigger segments. And then they said, hey, while you're already this big name and this huge pop and all this fucking crowd fare following you, we're going to shove you with the other strong, powerful black woman and she's going to carry you and protect you in matches. Naomi saw that as a student of the game and a veteran in this company and said, you're leeching off my best friend. You don't deserve the spot you were given when you walked in here. I'm a former world champion too, and I got nothing for it. I got fired for standing up for myself when I was getting thrown scraps in the women's tag division, and you buried me on the mic for standing up for my career and for women's tag wrestling in the sport of professional wrestling, and I got fired. Now I've built my name back up in TNA. I've come back to huge crowd success. My husband's a part of one of the largest stories in all of professional wrestling fucking history, and still, I'm eating pins for other talent. But I'm fucking Naomi. I was a Funkadactyl breakdancing 12 years ago for scraps, and I earned my spot. Who are you to walk the fuck in and take what's mine?
Jade Cargill.
I get where Naomi came from. Because Naomi, she earned every freaking piece of scrap she got, and they gave her nothing but one title reign with it. One. In 13 years. And here comes Jade, new kid on the block, greener than baby shit, has to be supported through every single tag match by her better, Bianca, who made her a champion. And here's Naomi on the sidelines, like, there was already another strong, independent, powerful black woman here. But you gave it to the new kid. Fuck the veteran. Just like they did to Kofi Kingston over and over and over.
You're justifying Naomi's actions.
I'm saying her actions are 100% understandable. If you have empathy, you can understand that was Naomi wrong for how she went about it? 100% unequivocally, yes. But is she completely, completely relatable in the situation as a fallible human being? Yes, I understand Naomi. I even agree with her anger. I don't agree with how she went about it, but I agree with her anger and her reasoning because it makes perfect sense.
Okay, let's hear from Tommy and then Mr. Blood. If you want to add anything else, I'm going to let you go after. But Tommy, let's go with you next. What are your thoughts on this?
Two things before I actually get that. One, Snug, fuck you. I understood that reference. I am an Eminem fan.
What reference?
The Eminem reference. I understood that, you piece of shit.
Okay.
But when it comes to Naomi as well, we're also talking about a girl that won the WWE title and then decided to put a bunch of fucking glow sticks on it. She literally glowed that thing out that way it would pop during her entrances when she won it. So, yeah, that's what we're talking about here. But like Blood said, everything that she has done completely justified overall because it's true. Here comes Jade, who's this new toy and all of that, and Naomi's pissed because she's like, what the fuck? Yes, I was fired, but I came back. I've had huge success from the Rumble I came back to now. And now you're going to fuck me over exactly like Vince did? What the hell? So everything that Naomi has done right now is completely justified.
Wow, you guys are all fucking going to hell, first of all. That's messed
up. I'm already there, big boy.
Toxic, what do you think?
Look, I'm not saying what Naomi did was right. She could have went about the situation better. But there were, in my eyes, if y'all might not agree with me, she's becoming a tweener. She wants what's best for her and Bianca. And it's just not the right way, and it's heel actions. You could tell because as Bianca was walking out on her, she was starting to get more mad and more angry and more like, hey, you're a stupid fucking bitch. And then she, Naomi, I have never saw as, she's like one of those wrestlers that you don't see being heel, like Rey Mysterio or someone else like that. I just don't see them being heel. But then whenever they're heel, they're actually good at it. And you want to see more of them as a heel or as a babyface or whatever the fuck they change into. So, once again, I'm not saying what she did was right. She could have went fully better with this situation. Say, hey, Bianca, I think Jade's leeching off of you. Maybe you should talk to her about it. And maybe, yeah. But you get my point.
I definitely get your point. I definitely like where your head is at with this. And you're on to something, and I'm going to tell you what that is after BT Night. BT, what do you think about this?
Apologies if you can hear the rain behind me. It is fucking pelting here. It's been fucking hot as shit the last couple of months. Naomi's actions, you are perfectly right. They could have been done a different way. I relate this not to an extent to a situation that happened at a primary school where a mother was defending her child and basically stormed in and was fucking screaming out, "You come near me, I'll fucking end you. I'm your fucking worst nightmare." She could have dealt with that situation a very different way. So that's how I resonate with what Naomi did, right? Because not only did the mother fucking storm in with all of this anger, she made threats, right? Naomi basically put Jade in a fucking hospital. So she could have gone with this a completely different way. But with her perspective on why she did it, I understand 100%. So, in full summary, if Bianca has anything more to do with this, to an extent, I'm going to say yes, because I feel like Jade is going to drag her back into this situation because of the hypocrisy of how quickly Bianca chose Naomi to replace Jade. So those are my thoughts.
Interesting, yeah. I want to kind of piggyback on what Toxic was saying, how this may be like a tweener situation, because I think they're going to... This storyline, I think this is just the beginning of the storyline. Like, we heard The Rock at the press conference talk about how they're in the long-term storytelling game, right? They like to drag things out. They like to take their time with it. So I have a feeling that there's still that possibility that Naomi convinces Bianca down the line and is like, look, this bitch is just using you. Look at what she's doing. Like, look at what's happening. Bianca could still possibly realize with the help of Naomi, okay, maybe Naomi is right. Maybe she does want what's best for me. I'm gonna join Naomi and we're gonna go after Jade Cargill. Bianca is still kind of like in the middle of all this. Like, Bianca still hasn't made a choice. She hasn't really had much to say about this. This is only like the beginning. This is chapter one. Did you do it? Yes, I did it. We know that she did it. What's next? Before we move on to the next segment, Mr. Blood, I'm going to let you finish this one up for us.
Tommy has something to say as well, but I wanted to finish my thought from earlier because you said I was allowed to. I think the two interesting things here are also something we have to consider. There's a difference between telling a long-term story and taking too long to tell a story. You have to understand as well that Bianca and Jade is not happening at Mania this year because Bianca's involved in a potential triple threat at Mania. So, and we both know the bigger match is, well, we both know the bigger match would have been Bianca versus Rhea, or Bianca versus Jade. And we know they want to do Bianca versus Jade, and we all suspect they'd want to do one of the biggest stage possible. That being said, does that mean that Naomi is now just a stand-in for Jade at WrestleMania? Or are they holding off on Bianca and, let's say, Jade at perhaps SummerSlam? And by then, is anybody still going to care? Because this isn't like a top-tier main event story. This is a mid-card story. So, and it's over a friendship that's splitting up. Another thing we have, the second thing is, we have to look at this from two different ways because Bianca has to make a choice. She has to choose, and I'll tell you why. The argument can be made that Jade was only ever a champion because of Bianca. But the same argument can be made that Naomi only ever became tag team champion because of Bianca. So it comes down to Bianca has to decide. Her professional jealousy over Jade being the new girl on the block in her spot, potentially taking her spot, or does she choose her longer standing friendship with Naomi, even though Naomi is the one who caused all of this mess? So I think it remains to be seen. That being said, if we're not getting Bianca and Jade at Mania, how long until we pull that trigger? Because it's got to happen at some point. And I would imagine by the end of this, Bianca, I think, has got to turn heel. I think she has to turn heel. She's been stale for a while. I think a heel turn would freshen her up. I think that seeing Naomi become a heel is going to be incredibly refreshing because I don't think we've ever seen Naomi work as a heel, not in my memory. I don't think she was even a heel when she was the Funkadactyl and Brodus Clay was in. So I think it'll be fresh to see Naomi, but
Naomi has worked heel or heel earlier in her career. Bianca is the one that we haven't seen work heel.
Well, Bianca worked heel in NXT. So it's been a long time. But imagine a fresh heel Bianca on the main roster, and Jade takes up that women's big baby face spot. Imagine the storyline work we get seeing Bianca. I mean, Bianca would be a goddamn fucking menace as a heel on the main roster. A menace.
All right, Toxic, anything else you want to add before we move on?
I think it was Tommy.
Was it Toxic or Tommy?
Nah, it was me.
Okay.
But I can probably tell you, and this is what I was going to say earlier, that I can probably tell you three matches that are not title matches that are happening at Mania. One of them is a little bit of a sketch right now. We'll see. We're most likely getting McIntyre versus Priest. At this point, that's got to happen. Kevin versus Randy. Would not be surprised if that happens. But to get Jade at Mania at this point, it has to be against Naomi, the one girl that she's been beating the crap out of right now.
Quick shout out to Edward Fierro, AR15, ASO. Thank you guys for your comments. For some reason, my fucking comments ain't working on the stream, so I can't read all your guys' comments. I'll fix that next time. But I see you guys commenting. I appreciate y'all. So that's what's happening so far with Bianca and Jade Cargill. Moving on, the main event was LA Knight versus Shinsuke Nakamura for the United States Championship. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, this was Shinsuke Nakamura's only title defense before losing it. I mean, LA Knight was the champion second time. Thank you, Mr. Blood.
Both of them have been against Knight.
Both of them. Thank you. Okay. So LA Knight was a United States champion a while back before unexpectedly losing it to Shinsuke Nakamura. To everyone's surprise, we were all like wondering what the fuck was the point of this. And I think it's safe to say that was absolutely pointless because LA Knight is a champion and it should have been that way since the beginning. Shinsuke Nakamura turned heel. He came back. He won the title from LA Knight. And then it became this chase with LA Knight to win the title back again. And he did tonight. LA Knight is United States champion once again. BT, I'm going to do this for you because I know this is your guy, LA Knight. So let's give us your thoughts. But your unbiased thoughts, Mr. Blood. I know you're a huge LA Knight fan. We get it. But give us your honest opinion on the match, the outcome, and what do you think is next for LA Knight?
Give me a second.
We don't have a lot of time, BT Knight, so let's get it. Let's
Yeah. I'm just wrapping it up in my head. Yeah! This was fucking pointless. Shinsuke was repackaged for nothing. We were all excited for it. Like, I was one of the few that was excited for it. And I was calling out all of these fucking people that was like, what the fuck did they do this for? This was a shock to us. What the fuck did they do this for? I'm like, be patient. Let's wait and see. Fucking 4-5 months later, we got nothing. We got nothing. It was pointless. All of the repackaging and all of the excitement for nothing. Fucking Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson-esque fucking build-up. For nothing! It was bullshit! So, in summary, LA Knight got what he fully deserved. I was a bit skeptical about him winning the US title. I didn't know if I wanted him to win it or if I wanted him to not win it. I was a bit skeptical about it, but after seeing what happened and how he won it, a bit Stone Cold-esque, I'm not going to lie, with him using, like, whatever it took, and then the fucking referee coming out at the last second reminded me of Stone Cold versus The Rock the first time they fought at WrestleMania in 1999. But I'm over the moon right now. I'm very excited to see what happens leading up to WrestleMania 41, seeing who his opponent's going to be. It's probably going to be Shinsuke again. Or they could interject Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest's story into it. I don't know. I don't care. All I care about is just celebrating this. This is a good fucking Friday to celebrate. LA Knight. Yeah! Let's go.
Toxic?
I think it's pretty safe to say what we're all thinking. Why the fuck did you repackage Shinsuke? Like, it was pointless as fucking shit. If you were just gonna drop the title from Knight to him and then put it back on Knight. It was pointless. It was pointless. Shinsuke should have still been this, whatever the hell he was, and gone after Cody to renew a rivalry. I would have told you, I would have wanted to see that. A dark Shinsuke Nakamura versus champion American Nightmare Cody Rhodes. I would have wanted to see that. Renewing a rivalry from 2023? Yeah, I wanted to see that. I would want to. English, but yeah, you get my point.
All right, Tommy, and then Mr. Blood.
So the biggest question, if you are gonna put it on Shinsuke, why the fuck did you make him look worse than Roman Reigns when he had the Undisputed title? So at least Roman showed up every once in a while. At least Roman showed up every once in a while. Shinsuke didn't do shit whatsoever. He looked worse than Roman with it. And that's saying something. But LA Knight should have had the title the entire time. I will say that. The entire time, Knight should have had it. It was even a chase to even get it in the first place from Logan. Because Logan was dodging him every chance he could get. Literally every chance. Need I remind you that he only accepted it after Logan found LA Knight in his pool. That is when he accepted the challenge, finally. Just to get rid of him. It was a chase from the start to even get it in the first place. So why have all of this build-up, have him win it, and then lose it to a newly coming back Shinsuke, only for Shinsuke to do literally nothing with it, and then have it be dropped right back tonight? It literally made no sense to me. That's pretty much
it. All right, Blood.
I kind of disagree with everybody here. Here's the thing. When Shinsuke came back repackaged, there was obviously some kind of plan in place. When Shinsuke returned, it was the repackaging to basically make his character... They were trying to rejuvenate his character from all the times Vince destroyed it. And Vince destroyed his character a good 3 times. The first time that Shinsuke basically suffered fucking character suicide was when he made him and AJ Styles have their feud, and it just ended with them kicking each other in the dick 2 or 3 fucking times. And that really just is what destroyed everybody on Shinsuke and partially AJ Styles for a long time. The plan was obviously to get it back on Shinsuke, to reinvigorate the crowd of him and show everybody, hey, he is a threat. He is that good. He can be a champion whenever he wants to be. But the problem is that Shinsuke's schedule is that of this. He's the part-timer no one ever realizes is the part-timer. So it's the thing of Shinsuke's only, you know, his contract is he goes on vacations. He goes back home to Japan for a long time, and then he comes back during stints for wrestling. He always said when he left Japan and came to WWE, it was a vacation for him when he came to WWE. He's also been wrestling in other companies for special events the last couple months, along with Chad Gable, who was wrestling in the same exact freaking promotions. So I think the original plan was probably to have him hold it for a while, but then they ran into, well, we got a plan for the new year. We got to start the build of the Rumble. So he got lost in the shuffle based on all the build of the Rumble. He got lost in the shuffle on all the build to Elimination Chamber. His brother then died. Now we have to let him go away and deal with the emotional weight of all of that and give him time, because it's not like you can just, what are you going to do? Make the guy fly 22 hours to Japan to see his brother and then fly straight back 2 days later. Like, let the guy go be with his family. That's probably why they had Shinsuke drop the title, was because his brother died last week and they wanted to give him time to go be with his family. And it made more sense to put it on a champion that gets a pop and has a crowd connection than just have Shinsuke hold it until he's emotionally ready to come back. Because we are on the way to WrestleMania, and we need the champion present for whatever build that title is going to be built around for the match. So putting it back on LA. But I want everybody to remember, LA Knight didn't work as U.S. champion either. And people seem to forget that. LA Knight's championship run was pretty freaking mid. I'm going to be real with you. It was mid. He had the same runaround feud with Carmelo Hayes and Andrade for weeks. Weeks. He never, ever did anything remotely of a rematch with Logan Paul that I can remember. They never ran that back. It was a one and done, no rematch clause. He feuded with the same two guys for 2.5-3 months, and then randomly drops it to Shinsuke Nakamura. Clearly because, one, his title run was not working and it was lackluster, because LA Knight is one of those champions where the chase is better than the run. When you are a WWE professional wrestler who becomes the champion, you fall into one of two categories. You are either a great chaser or you have a great ring. It's very rare that you get both in one professional wrestler. Very rare. I mean, look at all the people who the whole world wanted Cody to win. And then as soon as he won, within a month and a half, half of the people who wanted him to win turned on him. So it's one of those things where you're either more interesting on the come up and less interesting on the down curve, or you're the guy who surprises everybody with the win who no one gave a shit about winning it. And then they love your run. Kofi Mania, perfect example. Wanted him to win for 3 months. As soon as he wins, within a month, they're bored of it. Daniel Bryan, wanted him to win. As soon as he wins, they're bored with it. It's the same thing every time. Everybody wanted LA to win in 2023. They didn't pull the trigger. Everybody wanted him to win in 2024. He wins it. As soon as he wins it, a month later, they're bored. So the problem isn't with, in my opinion, the fact that the reign itself sucked. It's that the booking around the reign sucked. You can't be, if you're going to make all these massive important title changes, why are you doing it around massive big four PLEs where you have to shuffle the deck? You had Shinsuke win it literally just leading into the Rumble, where they've got to fit so much story into the Rumble and both Rumbles. And then you've got to fit all this story into the Elimination Chambers while you're building to the feuds that you're going to start for Mania, while you are trying to build in all the matches around the mid-cards. And then all of the feuds that are not title adjacent, which at this Mania, we have got a lot of non-title fucking matches happening this year. A lot. You got Damian and fucking Drew. You got Seth Punk and Reigns. I mean, you've got Naomi and Jade now. I mean, we're going to have probably some celebrity match with Logan Paul involved. So you got that December in there too. Randy and fucking Kevin. You got all this shit to fit in on a Mania card. And then you're like, oh, wait, shit, I've got mid-card titles to book too. Fuck. Only which one's more important, the Intercontinental Championship or the United States Championship? So they've been focusing more story on the Intercontinental Championship. And then they're like, oh, wait, that's right. I forgot. Didn't we make Shinsuke the United States champion like 2.5 months ago? Oh, yeah, we got to do something. Hey, we're going to start doing stuff with you. Oh, your brother died? Crap. Well, we got to have you drop the title so you can deal with that. And then we got to hot potato it back on a night so we can build a quick-ass feud to Mania in a month. So now who's he going to face at Mania? Is it going to be Carmelo Hayes? Is it going to be fucking Andrade? No, I'll tell you who it's going to be. It's going to be Jacob Fatu. Jacob Fatu's taking that U.S. title. I said this 2 weeks ago. They were going to, I said at the moment that Shinsuke still had it, right when his brother was announced to have passed, rest in peace, that they were going to have LA Knight take it off Shinsuke so Jacob could take it off LA Knight. Yeah. I literally said it. Did I not, gentlemen? You can nod. You can nod if you remember me saying it, because I fucking said it. And this is exactly what's happening. A week later, look what they did. And guess who's still involved with the Bloodline feud? LA Knight. Yeah, he's still. He got what? We're going to forget that he got jumped by Jacob Fatu, Tama Tonga? We're going to forget that? No. Because last week, Solo Sikoa was pushing Jacob Fatu towards the United States Championship. He's going to take it off of LA Knight at WrestleMania. That's the match. I'm telling you.
Well, we'll see what happens. As far as SmackDown goes, that was our quick review for SmackDown. We pretty much hit the key points the most, like, you know, the things that stood out. Besides that, we had a Randy Orton in-ring promo. We had a three-way tag team match for the number one contenders. Tiffany Stratton defeated Piper Niven. The Pretty Deadly are the number one contenders to face a DIY next week. Solo Sikoa versus Braun Strowman, which ended in a disqualification. Mia Yim versus Chelsea Green for the United States Championship. In a Philadelphia street fight, Chelsea Green won with the help of Alba Fire. But other than that, man, it was a great SmackDown. And until next time, you guys, my name is Edgar. I'm the host of Snug Wrestling. Thank you guys for listening, and we will talk soon.